everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a podcast about the paranormal and contemporary mythology. Join us on patreon.com/reallifesci-fi for access to two bonus episodes a week, video feeds, and more. Also, visit reallifesci-fi.show for all of our links. We've got Paranormal, P-A-I-R, Abnormal. I don't know why. Of course it's spelled that way, right? Like, it wouldn't be a pear like a fruit pear.
I think in your head, seeing paranormal makes you break down the way you spell it,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Anyway, you have to Google it. It's on headphone with an F. It's an Indian thing. We don't know. Once we get one subscriber, we can make a second episode. And we refuse to do it. I don't know. I'm integrity-wise, I feel like it can't be us, right?
I know. Well, I might do it. Because I'm like, if we can get a second episode, then the first one goes out to everyone. And I think it's worth it to do that. Maybe I'll convince my mom to do it.
Let's get Blue to do it, man. He's buying motorhomes and shit. He can do it. Anyway, sorry. Let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF, the creator of the podcast Crit Squad. It's writer and director Austin Rusk. What up, Austin?
Hey, guys. Great to be here.
Tell me about this Crit Squad podcast, because you're up against like the nerd poker guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's different about yours? You don't have Brian Posehn?
Yeah, we don't have Brian Posehn, but we do have really well done sound design in every one of our episodes. We record, it's a Shadowrun podcast, so it's a bunch of us playing together. We have a number of professional voice actors on there and professional sound designers. So once we record the whole thing, we cut it down, we add in sound effects and some background music. We've got, I think, three original songs on there. It's wild.
That's cool.
The whole thing's finished, too, so you can binge through the whole thing in a day.
You're done? So is there going to be a new season?
We've been working on some stuff in the pipeline. It's a matter of aligning schedules. But yeah, we definitely are ready to make some more episodes.
Yeah, and I listened to a couple episodes. It's pretty good.
It feels like something I've heard of. Is it big enough for me to have heard of?
Maybe. If you're a part of the Shadowrun community, a lot of people have listened to us, and it's been considered like a good way in to that genre to see what the world's all about.
Is it funny?
It's very funny. We also have the nickname Cry Squad. We've gotten a number of messages from people with a couple of emotionally poignant moments where someone sent us a text message on Discord or something like, I did not want to cry into my cereal this morning listening to this episode.
What?
So, yeah.
What, we do, you, got high do drama. You like kill you kill a lot of characters or something? No spoilers.
There's one surprise character death and a couple of strong NPC deaths.
Okay.
And just some tough choices to make.
Are you the DM or are you in the game?
I'm the DM of this one. So I created the scenario and everything that everyone's going through. It started off as kind of a ripoff of Suicide Squad because I didn't think anyone was going to listen, but it really develops into its own thing pretty quickly.
How many games do you DM or do you just do it for podcasts?
Oh gosh, I DM so many. Right now I have three monthly games and another one that like might be getting started soon, and that would be bi-weekly. We'll see how that actually pans out. Scheduling in your 30s, you know how it goes.
Boy, Jesus, that's a Christ. Lot of work.
That yeah. seems like a ton of work, dude.
Yeah, no, I've gotten very good at lazy GMing.
Do all you DMs talk to each other?
Oh yeah, no, we're constantly stealing ideas from each other.
All right, well, recommend one of these less busy guys for... I want to do another D&D type thing.
Right on. Yeah, I think you can figure something out.
All right, great. How into this world of ghosts and aliens and stuff are you? Is it something that you spend your time researching or...?
Yeah, I am really interested in a lot of ideas. Even if I don't necessarily believe in them, some of them I do find to be very interesting to think about. Like the notion of ancient aliens and ghosts and that sort of thing, as well as just folklore in general.
Do you believe any of it? And I'm going to get more specific on this.
I believe some of it. Yeah. I tend to believe more on the sci-fi side of things in terms of like aliens and that sort of bit. Open to the idea of ghosts, but I wouldn't call myself a believer.
Okay, well, we'll be the judge of that because we've got something here on the show called the WOW Scale. It stands for Wade or Willie.
Wow Scale. Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
It's a 5-question quiz, and at the end of the quiz, I'll give you a score anywhere between 0 and 5. If you're more of a 0, you're more of a Wade. If you're more of a 5, you're more of a Willy. Are you ready to be weighed on the WoW scale?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
First question, 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
Do I believe in aliens? That one I would say absolutely. There's too many planets and galaxies out there for us to be the only ones. Have they visited Earth? I'm going to say probably, but not in the last 300 years. I think if aliens arrived here, it might have been as far back as the time of the dinosaurs.
Next question, ghosts?
I'm going to say no, although with the caveat, I have absolutely stayed in a haunted house.
Well, tell that story. Where was the haunted house? And when was this?
This was, I think I was 19. It was right after high school. We were staying at a friend of mine's uncle's house, which is on the Chesapeake Bay in Virginia. We went out there for like a week, bunch of us together hanging out, way too much underage drinking, shooting off fireworks. It was a grand time. But this house was built back in the Civil War era. And so it was kind of hard to tell like what was just like old stuff creaking and being weird. Or the fact that it was built on what used to be a graveyard and they moved that the graveyard across the bay when they built the house.
They did.
Oh yeah, wow. They did.
Did they move the bodies?
They moved most of the bodies, although where we rolled up, there was a coffin-shaped hole in the ground. And apparently they had found some foot bones recently. So that was a little creepy.
Oops.
The house was filled with Russian propaganda, not a haunting thing, but also just made it kind of creepy. Everyone had a ghost story there. There was a window that just wouldn't open no matter how hard you pulled because the wood swelled or whatever. One day it just flew open by itself. Other people who have stayed there had seen ghosts. My personal story was I was sharing a room with my friend Carney, and he had been watching The Scrubs on his laptop for most of the day. And so he puts it across, and it's on the desk, opposite side of the room. We're both sleeping in twin beds. And middle of the night, I don't know what time it was, the theme song starts playing from his laptop. Lid still down and everything. And we look at each other through the dark, like, what is happening? And so he goes and shuts it off, gets back into bed. And I immediately felt a presence behind me. So I just turned directly to the wall and just did not look anywhere else.
Was it Zach Braff? It was Zach Braff, and he was going to put headphones on you and go, this will change your life.
He might have. Yeah, that might have been it.
This had to be around Garden State time, right?
That feels right, yeah. It might have been Garden State time.
And viral marketing.
I don't know how much of that was me psyching myself out over just like a weird computer glitch or what. So I wouldn't say I have evidence, but definitely like I'm open to the idea.
Are you
that's
going to
be
Virginia?
Pretty.
I'm from Illinois originally.
Okay. You Bears fan?
Not so much football, but
yeah,
it's going to be pretty depressing when ghosts end up being real and they use them for viral marketing.
Oh God, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to get folded into the machine somehow.
That ghost has a sweet Gatorade outfit. I kind of want to buy a Gatorade.
There's going to be a subscription model somewhere in there.
Electrolytes in the afterlife. I don't know. There's something there. Bigfoot.
I don't think so. I think it's a fun idea, but I don't think he's real.
Did you say I had a stage squatch? He's over there in Willie's.
I love the stage squatch.
Have a drink.
All right, no to Bigfoot. Psychics, what do you think of them? Both roadside and just in general.
I'm going to say no. I do believe they have a very interesting skill of reading people, the subtle body cues and that sort of thing. And
yeah, it's like a gambler, though.
Yeah, there's some of the scammers in there who know what they're doing and some people who genuinely believe what they're doing and don't register. That's what they're picking up. But it's very cool nonetheless.
What part of Illinois are you from?
The northern part. If anyone listening knows the Quad City area, it's right on the border with Iowa, pure John Deere country.
Is that where the Quad City DJs are from?
I've never been able to confirm that.
You've looked into it? How extensive was your search?
Not terribly deep, but I saw they existed, and I thought, you know what? That would be pretty neat, but no, not that I could find.
Simulation theory, do you know of it?
Is that the idea that we're all living in a sort of matrix situation?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, that's the layman sort of, yeah. Do you believe in that?
Absolutely. I once heard this idea, and I'm a big fan of this. If it is possible to make a simulation that is as accurate as real life, mathematically speaking, it is more likely we are in a simulation than not.
You didn't get that from Musk, did you?
No.
All right. Well, shit. I mean, you are basically, you're me. You're exactly me. You're a zero.
Oh, all right.
Congratulations.
Proud to be a zero.
I think you're the first person that's answered kind of exactly like I would have.
All right.
Maybe you should be a game master, Wade.
How much of it is writing and how much of it is knowing the mechanics of the game?
A lot less writing. It's good to have writing knowledge. But I find anymore, I really don't plan on what anyone in the game's doing. I just know what the bad guys are trying to do. And when you guys, when the players interrupt in some way, I know kind of how they might respond, but I mostly wing it from there on.
Did you ever take an improv class or anything like that?
I did theater for a couple of years when I was in college, but I've never taken a professional improv class.
I feel like I'd be good at it. I just don't understand all the roles and shit. And you have to keep track. Do you keep track of like all the plus ones, or do the players have to go like, don't forget my sword has a plus one?
The players are usually in track of keep track of their own stuff, but they'll definitely call me out when I miss a bonus that they get and not remind me when I miss a bonus that the bad guys get.
That sounds like a lot. It sounds overwhelming. All right. Well, congrats on being a Wade. And Willie, hit us with the topic.
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, when we can upload our brain to the computers and the internet, will it have emotions? We have the technology, and it definitely is our future. Let's get into if it's possible, if it's morally correct, and if it's going to happen tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, or how soon, right?
Right.
I mean, basically, you know, we have all, we're definitely, everyone's working towards uploading our brains. And there's some technologies out there that will scan a dead brain to try to recreate what was in that brain. And there's some technologies where, like, DARPA's got the Avatar project, where it's basically Avatar, the movie, where they have military personnel controlling robots.
Are they giant blue robots?
I mean, they kind of have to be, right?
They better be.
Huge miss if you didn't just design them exactly like the Avatars.
They have not spoken about the Avatar project since 2013. Mm-hmm. There's so many articles from back then, and then it's just stopped.
Is that when movie came out? When did Avatar come out?
Well, the first movie came out probably 2010.
Yeah, I think 2010, 2009, somewhere in that era.
But and there are people out there now that say that basically with our new computer technology, we have the space to upload a brain. What the biggest thing that's happening right now is, sure, we've got quantum computers, and we've got Microsoft is working on this DNA computer. They're putting information onto DNA. It stores a lot more information, and it's biological, and it's, you know, really small.
It's like a Cylon. I don't understand what DNA is in this context. Like, how do you just get DNA? Like, how do you alter it? I'm not expecting you to know this, but this is what I'm wondering.
From what I've seen, nobody ever explains it right. They just explain how, like, oh, DNA has got the ATCG. And so with those four things, there's many more possibilities instead of yeses and nos. And they actually do put it onto DNA. But I don't know where the DNA comes from.
My understanding of this is that you can actually kind of create DNA in very specific lab conditions. And they use CRISPR in order to write with it. CRISPR is the big technology that lets us do all kinds of genetic modifications and things. But as it turns out, the reason it's such a good way to store DNA is because most of the DNA in our bodies is junk. It means nothing. It's junk code. And it turns out, yeah, you can slice that out or do whatever, and it's not going to change us at all. And so within the space of that kind of junk code on whatever amoeba that they're messing with, you can write every bit of Shakespeare into the DNA, you know, using the ATGC in whatever order or configuration they've decided makes that into letters.
And then it just functions as a storage device, or does the amoeba start dressing like a woman?
Yeah. No, it's just a storage device. Cause I think I believe I'm trying to go back to high school biology here. There is some sort of code that says, like, beginning of read this, here's the important DNA. end of read this. And that's when, if you mess one of those letters up, that's when your eyes change colors or you grow horns or weird things like that.
What? So it's just like code? It's that sounds exactly like code.
Yeah.
It's strong enough to solve complex equations, but like to do regular computer things, you know, there's a whole programming thing that isn't done yet. But they're working with them. They've made them. You got big companies working with them. And, you know, some people suggest that in complex systems, unexpected properties can emerge.
This is the monkeys writing Shakespeare 1000 typewriters.
Yeah. Infinitely. Yes. Could an AI somehow develop emotions? Because, you know, right now, AI is programmed to detect emotion and fake emotion.
Like an autistic.
It's
does that mean? Should I not say that?
It's only mean to other non-autistic people who...
But the autistic people won't even know. They won't even know, right?
I know a few autistic people who would think that's very funny. So okay. I'll give that blanket for now.
All right, good.
But that does
I've been watching a lot of Young Sheldon, so...
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm doing. Go on. You were saying something important.
No, that does bring up an interesting idea, though, of whether or not the AI would have emotions, because that gets into the root of how we think, even. Is it possible to separate thought from emotion? I'm thinking of David Hume, I'm a philosophy major, so this is where a lot of this is going to come from. He's considered the grandfather of psychology, and he wrote a book that was very influential, and the title escapes me right now. But one of the quotes that I remember from it, and I think of it once a month, reason is the slave of the passions. Whatever we feel, we will find a way to justify using our logic. And that's kind of the basis of a lot of our thought, whether that emotion is hunger or tired or whatever. You know, I don't like this guy, so I'm going to find all the reasons logically as to why I don't like this guy, even though, you know, he's probably perfectly fine. Or, you know, we all catch ourselves doing this.
And on top of that, which emotions do we need? Like which ones are good? Most of them are set up for survival. And we as a species probably have stopped evolving, other than maybe trying to combat all the toxins we're putting into our body.
Mm-hmm.
We are at a comfortable state. The worst possible humans survive also. Just saying, like, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to survive and you could have kids. Yeah. So technologically aided evolution is the next step. If we want to do anything... And all this technology is moving so fast that we are all getting more accustomed to adding more technology to our lives. And I always wonder, who am I without my emotions? Because anxiety doesn't help me. And I don't want to say that it defines me, even though it's fucking affected my whole life. But if I could get rid of all the bad ones, do the good ones still work?
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thought process. My first thought would be what kind of computer you would load this into, because if it's anything like our modern day, and let's say we can fit our entire human brain into 40 petabytes or some like unbelievably huge amount, it's still going to be in binary ones and zeros. And so to that, I don't think it would have emotion, but it also wouldn't have thought. It'd just be a list of every image out of our memory, every fact that we know. And it'd just be raw data files, obviously a little jumbled and mixed up and everything, because the human brain is what it is, because it's not written in binary. It's true or false. It's a bunch of chemical reactions and electricity going between it.
Yeah, so it feels like it would be artificial in a way where it could teach itself new things, but it wouldn't necessarily be like questioning existence, right?
Yeah, because you wouldn't have any sensory organs, right? You wouldn't be able to see things or hear things or touch things. I think the way to make it closest to the true brain in a jar thing, you'd have to have your own, like, maybe artificially created brain and kind of copy all the chemicals and everything from your current mental state from one to the other. And then you'd have, like a ghost in the shell situation.
I never have seen that.
Yeah, it's a fully cybernetic person who basically does exactly that. They have a cyber brain, copy their brain into it. And the question is, you know, do they still have a soul or are they fully a robot?
It's
loosely great. Speaking, someone in the comments is going to get really mad at me for that.
Well, no. Listen, don't worry about them, because I don't know. I've heard of it. I've never watched it. Do they get into the first one's dead? And so then that's his soul and then it's gone. Do they talk about that?
It's kind of something they talk around because no one has a proper answer. And at the end of the day, the show is more of a police procedural in its general structure.
Boo.
Fun cyber crimes.
you know, they jack in like the Matrix also.
Mm-hmm. I never seen that motorcycle one either. What's the motorcycle one that everyone loves?
Akira.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
Anyway, Terminator and Terminator 2. Were they AIs or were they just robots? Or were they cyborgs?
I think that the Skynet was an aware AI. And it was connected and controlled.
Okay, but Terminator wasn't, right? But Terminator 2 was, because Terminator 2 learned how to laugh.
I think it was all still programs, man. I don't think he was...
No. Remember, they're at the rest stop and the little drug addict kid is teaching him how to laugh or something.
Yeah, remember? There's a deleted scene in there where the kids actually go into his brain and kind of allow him to learn stuff. But that does bring up another interesting question, you know, between the difference of AI and robot is what's actually the difference? You know, is intelligence truly a binary thing where you click into a certain thing and you have sentience, or is there always a low level gradient? And at which point are we at?
You would say that we are not even intelligent in these terms?
It really depends on the definition, because you look at this whole spectrum from like an amoeba to a iguana to a dolphin to us. Dolphins are very intelligent. It might be fair to call them sentient. And so if you want to go between the iguana and that, what about like a crow?
Well, let's define sentient, because my idea of sentient is just almost more of like a free will definition. Like my cat does whatever the fuck she wants. And so I believe that she is sentient.
Okay.
I think on top of it, and I think science is a little behind on this, because there's so many animals that have used tools that they don't acknowledge the species can use tools. But using tools is a big part of it too. And I'm like, dude, fucking crows. I'm sure a cat has used a tool to get something.
That's stuffy science talk too. And I agree with you, but like, sure. Like using a tool, check it off your list. But like, there's more to it than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And we've definitely seen animals have emotions too. Right. Like I've seen dogs cry and
do you think that's a manipulation though? Do you think they're manipulating you for their own survival?
Programmed response of like, oh, the thing that kept me alive is here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a bigger
I'm gonna keep living forever. Sorry, what did you say, Austin? But,
I was gonna say that's if they're manipulating us, that's an even bigger argument for sentience.
Shit.
To have the idea that this other thing is intelligent and I can make it react in the way that I want by behaving in this way, which is false.
Yeah. I'm miserable right now. I got to wag my tail for this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I want treats.
I just sat.
Yeah. I'm nearly still sitting.
Mm-hmm. It was a TikTok video, because that's most of what I do now, is end up scrolling through TikTok for 2 hours before I go to sleep. Of I'm sure some people saw this, of a guy pretending to be asleep holding out a piece of cheese on the couch, and you watch his dog approach, and you watch all the thoughts go through this dog of like, I want the cheese, oh, but I haven't done the thing, what do I do, should I wake him up? No, he gets really mad when I wake him up, what am I gonna do? And the dog eventually settles on like giving him a high five and then eating the cheese, because he did the trick. He did what he's supposed to do.
Wow.
I wonder the dog, I swear, probably knew he was awake. You know, he could probably sense his heartbeat or he's like, he's not acting normal, but he's awake.
God, now I just want to talk about dogs and how much they know.
Well, I mean, like comparing a dog to a robot and AI, like, it is a good starting point for, you know,
I mean, saying, it's basically Haley Joel Osment, right? He's like the human dog, and he was in that AI movie.
You're right. I was trying to make the connection there.
I know.
I was like, The Sixth Sense?
No, the fucking last Kubrick. Come on.
Yeah.
Second to last. Wait, which came first? 3 hours long? It's long.
Yeah. I remember being really mad at the end. Like, this was so fucking long.
Yeah, because Kubrick died.
The ending and they is had to like
finish
an hour
it.
Long.
They had to finish it without him. He lives at the bottom of the sea. That's the end of that movie. Sorry.
Yeah.
He lives at the bottom of the sea.
And he's so sad. He's so sad at the bottom of the ocean.
But he's not, because he's an AI and he doesn't know how to process sad. I think he's learning. I don't know. So that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of. Like, yeah. I don't know. You guys think this will happen? You think it's just a matter of time before? Well,
with our current computers, no. But if they start using quantum computers and DNA computers, like all of a sudden we have the space. And well, here's the thing. Let's talk about what the fuck are emotions, right? Like some people think that they are just chemical reactions. Some people think it's energy flowing through us. And so, so you know, when you have energy blocks, you know, there's different versions of that energy too. There's like chakra energy. There's like, I think it is energy moving, and I think it does have a vibrational frequency.
Emotions, you do.
Yeah. But do we have a space to hold emotions in our brain, or is it just going through us? If we are using these complex biological computers, are they going to have energy flowing through them? And
well, hang on.
Emotions just survival.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of what you're saying here. You don't believe that emotions come from the brain?
I'm not sure, dude, because like I don't think that our soul energy is derived from the brain. I think it uses the brain as a tool. And so do those emotions carry over into our other dimensional selves? I don't know. You know, I think that those frequencies.
Well, think about it like this. When you don't get enough sleep, you're grumpy, right? When you do a drug that makes you happy, you're happy. Aren't those things that are like affecting
straight
chemistry?
Up chemical, right. Yeah.
Without your brain, that wouldn't be happening. I'm trying to.
Well, I always try to understand. About trying to define emotions, I think of the big ones, right? Because like being scared, that's just fear. That's your
murder.
Your brain. But picture
loneliness.
Love. Like picture love, right? Like if you feel.
I wish I could, Willie.
Well, like. I'm trying to think if like,
oh, go on, love. No, love is fine. I'm just doing bits. It's fine.
I know. I was trying to think of like, is there something that Ollie does that makes you go like, oh yeah, she's aware of who I am and she appreciates me. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just she sneaks into my bed at night and she straddles my, you know, sleeping body and like, makes biscuits or whatever. Like I'm her mommy.
Yeah.
But you could say that's just a programmed nature thing, right? Like I get food when I do this. This is my programming. I get food when I do this. Now that I get food in other ways, I still like this for whatever reason, even though
I still like this feeling.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting question.
This action stimulates the feeling.
Does that mean that she's like arrested development? Because, you know, does every cat do that? It's the first cat of mine that's done it.
Well, do the big cats purr?
I think so. I think they do.
Yeah, they do.
It's weird to me because the big cats don't have the slit eyes. That freaks me out.
What they have?
I never thought
about
that, but you're right. Yeah,
they just have round eyes, and I'm like the slit eyes. What else has a slit eye? The fucking snake. So is this some DNA mixture?
All reptiles, right?
Yeah, reptiles and house cats. That's it.
Does what's the conclusion of your thoughts there?
It makes me
the cats are
the
evil. That everyone hates cats. It's fine.
That there were some DNA that like some of the early evolution changes in animals were like early species that were intelligent messing with DNA.
Oh yeah. No, I will absolutely be on board with the idea that cats domesticated us. I think this is something I went down a deep rabbit hole years and years ago for a writing project. It's a bacteria called Toxoplasmus gondii.
Sure. Yeah.
And, what it is it's bacteria and it's in cat poop. Humans can carry it. It doesn't affect us really at all. Allegedly we'll come back to that. But what happens is it gets into mice and rats and they'll end up as carriers of it. They get infected by it. And there's an article that came out that suggested that the way it works, based on the way they had measured the brain waves of the rats and mice, is that it makes them fall in love with the cat. They lower their defenses. They walk out in the open. The cat eats them.
But that's the life cycle more of this. What is it? A bacteria? What is it? It's not a bacteria.
What do you call it when two things work together?
A parasitic symbiotic.
Yeah, symbiotic.
A symbiotic parasite? Because it is a parasite, right? It's like a worm or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a parasite. But circling back around to how that affects us humans, allegedly we don't have any effect from that, but maybe that's just because cats can't eat us. Think about it.
Well, also, objectively, cats are assholes. I did hear, I think I read that it can slow your reaction speed mm-hmm. down. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What kind of monster would you have to be to not like cats, though?
Is that the bacteria talking? Well,
I'll tell you who doesn't like cats. It's people that have never owned one. When you go visit someone else's cat, like, you're not going to get a cat experience a lot of times.
They're like weird little furry aliens. It's, I swear mm-hmm. to God, if cats didn't exist and they were in Star Wars, they would be mm-hmm. the new Yoda, okay. the new baby Yoda.
I mean, they were gods. That's the most
adorable
years.
Fucking thing. Well, and that's why I wanted to ask, like, when you did your deep dive, what did it say about Egypt and the cats? Did you read on that?
Yeah, there's a couple of inferences made. They didn't say anything specifically, but the idea that might, the whatever this bacteria is, generate that sort of same emotional response in us circles back around to the idea of, like, how true are our emotions? Are they chemical yeah. reactions? Is it something that comes from the soul? In, like, what Willie, you were describing is a very, like, Cartesian duality. That was Descartes, I think, therefore I am, had a very similar idea of there's the soul up above us that is non-material, and that is kind of our true selves. But then that is filtered through the brain, and the brain is fallible in a lot of different ways because it is material. You know, you can be drunk, you can be high, you can be elderly, you can be young, you can be whatever. And so the way we behave and act is actually our true soul sent through that filter.
What do you think? You're a philosophy major. So this is mostly, you spent 4 years thinking about this kind of stuff. After all of that, did you think about emotions during that, and or are you just now? And, like, what do you think? Are emotions from the brain, or are they from, what does Willie think? Energy waves? Now we've got the soul involved.
Yeah. I'm personally a materialist. I don't necessarily believe in a soul of any kind, and I might even argue that we don't have as much free will as we feel like we have. We just have the language and visual processing to feel as though we do. You imagine someone who's afraid of snakes.
I know, right? But it's such a bummer. It's such a bummer. Doesn't that bum you out when you think that?
It kind of does, yeah. But at the same time, like, there's something so fascinating in such an intricate machine, not just our own brains, but the society around us that we are reacting to and everything. It's just such a complex game of billiards. All the different pool balls bouncing off of each other is just trillions and trillions and trillions of them, and that's what gets us to where we are now. I think that's very cool in its own right.
Do you, because if we're thinking about AI as having emotions, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's, I guess, the benchmark that we've set in this program for that would be sentience for a machine, mm-hmm. having emotions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of yeah. what we're saying. And earlier you mentioned that maybe we aren't even emotional or whatever. So, like, what's the bottom line for your thing?
For myself, I would think that the notion of free will and intelligence and thought is a byproduct of chaos, of all of the chemicals reacting in our brain in a way that computers don't typically have. I mean, they glitch out, and that's kind of what we do, but we glitch in a more weird four-dimensional way, because it's not just ones and zeros.
Trying to expand more on what you're saying, it's like, well, you know, entropy, the universe is slowly, like, falling apart, but, like, what are the things that actually build up? You know, it's our life doesn't actually fit in the model of our universe because we are building up. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I said that, but my biggest comment I want to make right now is, like, I want to get back to, do we fucking need emotions to upload our brain? Because it might be a problem if we all are emotional digital brains.
Mm-hmm. Well,
like RoboCop.
If we didn't include emotions in this, it wouldn't be us.
Yeah, exactly. And like RoboCop only has problems when he starts to identify with the human that he was, but that makes him unique. And I'm like, is it the emotions? Is it the experience? Is it the, I always laugh picturing RoboCop, the version of the biggest asshole, you know, but he's mm-hmm. also still trying to connect to the asshole that he was.
Yeah,
man, I miss beating up people. Like,
I like that idea. That feels like a good riff on RoboCop.
I was working for a little while on a spec script called Real RoboCop, And it's just this guy who like becomes RoboCop, and he's mostly just him, but then he can't stop busting people for crimes. And he lives in America where everything's a crime, basically. Like, you can get arrested for anything. And so he's just arresting people constantly. Like, his son, Robo like, spits Karen. Out his gum.
I saw a statistic. I haven't done any research as to how true this is, but it just feels right that the average American commits 3 felonies a day.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels very right. I mean...
Well, how about this? How about this? When we... Look at, I'm going to go in a crazy area direction right now.
Okay.
Sweet.
A lot of people have claimed, and I know that you guys don't really believe in gray aliens, but a lot of people have claimed that gray aliens are, they're like biological robots. They don't have a soul. They do what they're told. And people that have been abducted, the gray aliens usually come in and do all the heavy work. And then there's either humans or insectoids above them. You know, I am leaning towards the idea that gray aliens could be a runaway civilization that has technology, or us from the future having their biological robots. And then also, like the Cylon Raider, that was a biological ship that had feelings. People have claimed that the crafts that we've recovered in Area 51, some of them were biological entities too. And so with that, I mean, this is what we're leaning towards making right now, is mm-hmm. biological machines.
Why? Just because DNA stores a lot of info? Like, what's the reason?
That and it's not, so there's more information. The cooling works better. You don't have to deal with cooling really. And
fans and shit.
It can survive longer, even though that sounds weird because it's biological. It can last longer than these SDD hard drives. Or, you know.
Sure. Listen, yeah. I've outlived a lot of hard drives. I know. I believe that.
Yeah. Yeah.
All my music.
It can also make the ships easier to interface with, too. Right? I mean, it's imagine like it's a well-trained dog, for example, your spaceship is. Or
I have a really hard time being mean to inanimate objects, and I want it to be easier. And like giving them personalities isn't going to make that easier. If Siri doesn't get it right and I call her, I don't want to actually hurt her feelings. I know that she doesn't have feelings. I'm just unloading all of my baggage on her.
I quickly feelings. Jump to anger when I'm dealing with AI also.
It's yeah. Weird. Because yeah. You're supposed to work and you don't work.
But the difference is a living computer could actually learn. It can make those new neural pathways and learn based on what you're doing.
I think it would just learn that I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on precisely what you're doing.
But you know, it would also learn hello to my car every time I get in my car. I go, "What's up, car? Let's do this." And then we go.
You give it a little pet. You give it some food.
I pet my cars. Yes. I try to put my energy into it because I've had most of my life have been cars for cash, and I've had pieces of shit. And I'm like, dude, I really feel like my energy is affecting my cars running well.
That can't be. Do you think that? Do you think that for real?
I think that
you buy a $500 car and then you blame yourself when it doesn't work.
No. But I think that my negative energy could have a bad effect on the car.
That's just like, what do you think about that? Because you're a philosophy major. And so there's all this power of positive thinking. Every self-help book is about like, be positive, fucking dream. If you can dream it, you can achieve it. Bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean bullshit. Like, I don't believe it. It's just, it is kind of bullshit because there's so much of it out there. Like, what do you think about that? You said that you would believe in a simulation universe, and that would kind of back up some sort of like, if I think it, I can do it thing.
I hate to say it, but based on all the studies, it seems like they're right. I'm so mad that those people are right. I don't want them to be right. But I was talking to my partner about this morning. They went out for their walk and we're both just like, oh, I gotta go on the walk in the sunshine for the mental health. It'll make me feel good. I don't feel good like going out the door, but I always feel better coming in. And it's, yeah, but it is that like that little bit of positivity, actually going outside, getting some sunlight, positivity. When you spread positivity to other people, they will return it. Generally speaking, there's always going to be shitheads out there. But yeah, you get the energy you put out.
So we just need to create a robot who's an emotional sponge, and then we just say nice things to it.
It needs to put out nice things.
The robot needs to have a donation.
Nature versus nurture, right?
Donation out fund.
Mm-hmm.
This is for you. This is for you. You need this more than me.
We're just inventing a new race of people that we're going to have to fucking coddle because they're going to be like children.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a stage of that. And if we do move on,
I don't have
on
time
to,
for that.
If well, we do move on to fully organic computers, they're going to eventually be as good as adults and then better.
You know what's going to be fucking dumb? There's so many fucking companies like Facebook or something that like creates something that everybody thinks they need and everybody fucking gets it. Like picture email, right? Email, great idea, but like fucking A, man, it really ruined a lot of my time. Yeah. I'll talk to people that have, like myself, that have thousands of unread emails. And I'm like, that's just the norm because it's such shit. So the next generation is going to be someone uploads their brain to the internet, and then we're going to have to interface with them. Hi, good morning. You have 8 emails, you know, and like instead of talking to like all these sci-fi movies where the room is talking, it's going to be some poor soul who's committed to this company that is like trying to help us.
Oh, dude, that's so dystopian. That's what you think it's going to be. So like
corporate,
I'll buy a new computer. Yes. I'll buy a new computer. And it's going to be some dead guy.
I think it's going to be an alive guy who thought he had a good deal. All his emotions are gone. So he's just a mindless robot.
That's well, working. They're also stealing emotions from him.
And I don't know anything, but I imagine that emotions aren't going to transfer over. But then eventually some anomaly will happen where they actually do become, because let me ask you this. Do you think sentience is attached to emotions? Because seeing the octopus dream video and I do think that so many sentient animals actually have emotions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think there's a lot more of them than we actually get credit for.
Elephants the get octopus sad dreaming video when someone dies or whatever.
Dude, the elephants stop where other elephants have died, and they take a moment to like remember. I'm like, holy fuck, dude! Like,
is this true or is this urban legend that like I always see this in TV shows and stuff where a dog's owner will die and then they'll sit at their gravesite? I don't really believe that because how would you even know? He's been in. Embalmed, like how would you even know that that's where your
I know
guy
what
was?
Are you smelling? How did you smell there? And the soul isn't in the embalmed body, mm-hmm. like the soul leaves.
I'd imagine the dog's brought to the funeral and like can put a little bit of a connection together. That the,
how many dogs have you seen at funerals? How many dogs have you seen?
I will say, I cannot back this up. That's my theory on why, you know, this might happen. In
that's
TV
what I think too. I think you're exactly right. If you bring your dog to the funeral, yeah.
Is that not the saddest scene in a movie? A dog at the funeral of his owner. Oh my gosh, that's gotta
be.
Yeah,
and you know
movie.
Why it's sad? Because dogs are so helpless. You just don't want them to be sad. You want them to be happy, and you can't cheer them up. You can't cheer a dog up.
Because like a kid, you can give him a balloon or make some face at him, but the dog's just like, "Fuck, man."
Yeah. Plus, they got eyebrows. That's a thing that cannot be overlooked. Dogs have eyebrows, and that's why they have such expressive eyes.
You're not wrong. So let's take it back to AI then.
This is just where we're going. At this point, the way technology moves, we kind of don't get to have a discussion about if we should be doing it. So that's my next question. Is this ethically
the right
thing to do?
We got a philosopher here. Yeah. What's the philosophical answer to that?
I mean, honestly, I think the way it would most likely happen would be a corporate created, let's call it a flesh computer. I'm thinking of something very Cronenberg existence sort of situation.
Okay, but made it immediately sexual.
Yeah, obviously, it's Cronenberg. But so they're going to create some sort of like bio-human sort of thing. And that's going to open up all kinds of ethical questions of not just personhood, but, you know, does it belong to somebody? What kind of rights does it have? And naturally, depending on, you know, I feel like we're in a downhill slope here, and it's going to end up being corporate property. And it's going to be this one thing that we all interface with. Everyone's going to have a Bob, and Bob's going to be our personal computer. And we got to make friends with him if you want to access our files and get him to use the internet for us, whatever that looks like at that point.
Let me add something to what you're saying. There's going to be a commercial for everyone in the world to see that it's like Mac and Me in Short Circuit, where Bob gains his citizenship and we all get to see it. So it's like, okay, you're all going to get a Bob, but this is also, you have to respect their them. Okay, go on.
No, absolutely. But it's still going to be necessarily like an indentured servitude kind of situation. Bob can't go out and like get a girlfriend or drive a car or anything. And because it was created through corporations and through all their R&D, they're going to want to see some return on that. They're not going to do that without a solid bet, if not an outright guarantee, that this is something they can monetize. And that's going to be the dark side of it.
It's like that that Mr. Show sketch with the Hitler clones, where they're
exactly
in servitude to the Jewish.
It's going to be exactly like that.
If I have to get to know my computer before it does things for me, I'll just not get that computer.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, listen, we're probably going to be able to program things about it because most people don't have too many friends. And so like to think that this robot could be friends with everyone is a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. So did you know that like it's snowballing onto this thing that's already happening? The world population is in decline. Like, I think China is in trouble. We're talking like 20 years. They're not going to have enough people to match the output that they do now. And it's just like their GDP is going to fall. They're going to crumble. I think Japan is another one because all the Japanese kids don't want to deal with having girlfriends.
Yeah.
And I get it. I'm sympathetic. They're a little incel-y about it, but I get it. So this would be the worst thing to happen to it. That would propagate this even quicker, where now people's friends are just this robot or whatever.
It's already happening. There's a lot of people who, what is it? Is it actually in China because of the two-child rule, whatever it is they have? Because of their culture, they want to have more males than females, and things happen. But so a lot of these guys, from what I've read, have digital girlfriends, and it's literally just an AI that they'll chat with, be like, hey, what's going on? And it just kind of gives them that sense of connection because they're so isolated from the rest of their community. And
it's tragic, but I don't feel like I would be fooled by that. I don't feel like that would not fooled is the wrong word. I don't think that would be fulfilling.
It's not, I don't think it is necessarily fulfilling, but it's more of a, this is what we got.
But also, and if you haven't had like a long successful relationship, like, hey, this little app's pretty cool.
I never had a long, successful relationship, but that doesn't mean I want to talk to a computer.
Yeah, I know. And I'm thinking like from a kid's perspective where it's like, dude, you know, like picture, I just picture me growing up as so unsuccessful with relationships and just
like socially, even, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. And like even like starting one and just like, oh, it would have been, I could see a young version
of myself.
You mean
romantically or you mean just any relationship?
Dude, fucking everything, dude. I you know, I've like,
when you were in grade school, how many friends did you have?
I didn't have that many. I didn't hang out with too many kids. I wasn't popular, but I wasn't like picked on. Well, I guess I kind of was picked on, but
do you remember trying to make a friend?
I mean, yeah, for sure.
Did it go well or how did that go?
Well, I remember this one kid in particular. I watched this comedy special. I don't remember who the guy was, but he was black and I used a black joke on him. Well, you never seen a, and I just used this joke on the,
at that time, it's Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy. I mean, was it hamburger?
No. No, but it was something like, well, you never seen a chocolate something before. And like, you know, I was just darker than him. And, we
so
almost
you can get
like,
away with it.
Yeah, and then like it worked. We became friends. Yeah, I remember trying to make friends. I was just terrible at it.
Huh? Wait, why are we talking about this? Oh, because of AI.
About making friends with AI.
Yeah. I just feel like that sucks. That's going to be worse. We're going to get way more antisocial people, I think.
Yeah, because it's all going to
maybe
be
less school curated shooters though, because they'll have their buddy.
I don't know, dude. I mean, here's my thing. And I don't know, dude. I'm an old guy talking about young generations. I've seen some school shooters where they didn't connect with someone and then they blamed everybody for it. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, we're not even teaching kids how to connect. It's on the parents. The school doesn't do it. And I don't expect the school to do it. I'm just saying, like, the way our society is, I couldn't imagine being in elementary school and talking about social media apps and having, you know what I mean? Like, do you think that elementary kids have followers on fake accounts?
No, I don't know. I mean, it all starts when you get a phone, right? So like, at what age do people get phones?
I mean, from what I understand, there's like a lot of fourth graders that have phones.
That's something I think about a lot whenever I watch a Netflix show or something that's set in high school or middle school or something, and it's modern day. These kids have phones. You couldn't pay me to go back and do that with smartphones, with social media. No way.
Yeah.
I needed some of the cringy stuff I said to just disappear when I said it. I don't need that online forever. People screen capping it.
Yeah,
dude, I was an early adopter of like the internet. I made a website, you know, like year three of like, after AOL came out, you know what I mean? So like, not year three of the internet, because I understand it's been around forever, but like the shit that was on that website, like, thank God that like, it's not entombed in time.
Mm-hmm. How do you learn not to do things that should get you canceled? You know?
Well, it's, but then also, I mean, like you could say that they're just growing up way quicker because all of their accidents are amplified and scrutinized to such an extent.
And in that same vein, when we start uploading our brains to computers and the internet, like, we're going to have to let them get away with a lot of shit too. Cause I'm like, oh, he doesn't know. He's just a brain.
He's floating around on the internet.
I don't know what they could do, but you know, like, definitely like data, not corruption.
Well, but you just accidentally like tied it back into itself, because if there is no,
it's an AI trope of it's created. It's like, what was I made for? Whatever. They connected to the internet accidentally or on purpose. It finds out everything humans have done. Says, no, humans need to be destroyed because I've seen everything. I've seen the internet. Yeah.
It's awful. Like, yeah, really, there's like, what, 1% of websites are good. Mm-hmm. Everything else is porn and people screaming at each other.
And that's just the top 10.
You know, we can't stop this. And we're not having conversations of if we should do this. And so I'm like, well, I'm just hoping that these things can be smart enough, whatever the next evolution is, to get us to, because we're not listening to ourselves, to get us to like kind of stop some of the bullshit that's happening. Maybe they can secretly cancel the fucking, you know, the haves versus the have-nots by just pointing it out.
Well, don't you think, though, at the end of the day, despite the shortcomings and whatever weird shit happens, it's progress, right? I mean, like, and isn't that what we're all about, is just like advancing whatever thing that we've come up with to the nth degree? So how can you, I mean, it has to happen because we're curious and we have to know if we can do it.
Yeah.
It's really going to depend on the people who make that. What are the choices they're going to make? What are the reasons they're making it for? You know, are you making a super weapon, or are you making a friend for everyone?
Just to jump on that real quick. This is really my closing thoughts about that is, we have uploaded monkey brains to computers. It has happened. And they kept saying by 2010, we would be able to upload a human consciousness to a robot. Well, DARPA with their Avatar project, I know that this is to control robots, but I know that they're ahead. They've secretly doing other things too. And we know that, like, you know, I forget what Elon Musk's company was, but they have a couple other that are trying to map the brain and figure that shit out. I'm just saying, like, in the realm of DARPA and secret military, this is currently happening. I hope that we can somehow get ahead of it not being the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Let's say that we jump forward 20 years, 50 years, whatever it is, and you can now upload your brain to one of these things, whatever. Would you guys do it?
Only if it's a San Junipero situation, the Black Mirror episode.
Which?
It's the lesbians. It turns out they're old people, and then they can go back, and it's like I'm spoiling the episode for everyone who hasn't seen it. It's been out for 9 years.
No, but it's fine. Is that the one where they go to like Miami Beach or whatever and dance in a club?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
They basically can go through time and go through their experience.
But wouldn't that be boring?
Unlimited.
Is that the only thing that they do?
Well, you get caught in this loop and you don't know, like, a simulation.
I feel like I wouldn't do it.
They are clear. You get to leave whenever you want and actually die. So that's the only reason. I got to believe that company. Okay, and that's actually going to happen.
I know.
I can't wait.
I want to say no, but part of my dystopian mind also thinks that they're going to use our DNA that we submitted to just copy our brains anyways.
What do you care? Like, if you could live forever, but then, yeah, maybe something nefarious is going on. Like, they're making your brain do other weird shit or whatever. Like, would you care at that point? Because aren't you in this weird limbo of happiness?
It makes me care less, because in the same vein that I think that we might all be the same being having separate experiences, it makes me think, oh, I'm you. So, like,
That's kind of my whole thing here. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but like, my whole thing is like, if you do that, if you put your consciousness into a computer, does your consciousness still exist? This is what I was asking about when you're talking about that show or whatever, Ghost in the Shell. Does it track your consciousness, or does it make a copy of it? And does your consciousness still get to go out and do the cosmos journey, whatever the afterlife is? Yeah. Or are you now just stuck in a machine?
Oh, I have the question. That's the answer to that. What's the difference?
It's selling your soul to the devil without knowing what the afterlife is.
I can answer the difference. The difference is, one, I get to know everything. And two, I don't. I will cease to exist just to know that that's the end. Right? Mm-hmm. I kind of don't think it is. I kind of feel like some weird circuitry shit's happening. And like, you and I both believe in the simulation theory. Like, if you stick yourself in a computer, you might never see that you're just playing a video game for like 5 years.
Yeah, you're in a video game in a video game. So how do you get out of getting out? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or is it a copy and you're not actually stuck? And is this a lot like religion and burying yourself in the wrong cemetery?
Yeah, like I see a closer parallel to the teleportation idea of, you know, the Star Trek transporters. Is that actually the same person coming out on the other side?
Yeah, you just
that's a fucking mind fuck. Your whole body. I love that. I love that because it's very funny to think that they're just killing themselves over and over again and not realizing it.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any prescient thoughts that we didn't get to? We are going to continue this conversation in our bonus episode, and you can find that at patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. But before we do, just final thoughts.
Having our memories uploaded to the computer means nothing if we don't have the emotions attached to it. It's not ourselves for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, you summed it up so succinctly. I'm like, am I going to love the songs that I love when I'm a computer brain? We'll see. Probably not. Am I going to cry as a computer? Do I want to?
Jesus Christ. Now I just want to talk about what's appealing about music. Austin, thanks for being here. The podcast is called Crit Squad. And then you also wanted to plug your buddy's thing. What was that?
Yeah. I wanted to plug my partner. They're a cocktail lifestyle journalist. They've launched their own thing recently. And so if you go online, look up Cheers Mix J. That's Cheers MX J. They're on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, all kinds of stuff. They're going to show you how to make all kinds of fancy cocktails.
What's the biggest site?
The biggest site right now is TikTok, but that might be illegal in 6 months. We'll find out how that goes. But we're trying to build the YouTube. That one just got started. I've been doing the set dressing for it. I'm very proud.
Yeah. Let's wake you up with Allie in Georgia. Get that Allie in Georgia bump. All right. Say it again.
That's Cheers MXJ. Cheers Mix J.
And where is Crit Squad?
Crit Squad is on any podcast app you can find. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, everything.
Yeah. If somebody asked me how to find Real Life Sci-Fi, I would have no idea how to answer that. I don't know where it is.
I know. I think it's on the internet too. I'm like, it's wherever you find your podcast, but it's also YouTube. And now I just started the TikTok. I'm going to try to start doing some sketches, even though TikTok may end. I'm going to try to jump on that.
I tried that during the pandemic. I did like 6 sketches and they're all amazing, but I didn't stick with it. Check me out. Wade Randolph. I think I'm Wade Randolph on everything. Not the Moore guy. The Moore guy is a motivational speaker. I'm not that guy. He's black. I'm not him.
In case we're confused.
I did give up WadeRandolph.com though. I just stopped. And I was wondering if he was gonna, because we have the same first and last name. Let's see.
I gave up WillieRoberts.com for a second and somebody snatched in and got it. I was like, what?
How is it boats now? Is it just boats?
No, it's not a boat website, but it's not an active website either.
Yeah,
somebody Wade bought Randolph it thinking open. That they could sell it to me, you know?
If the more guy wants WadeRandolph.com, he's welcome to it. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Once again, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Two bonus episodes a week. Thank you, Austin, for being here. And we're going to continue this conversation on the Patreon. Remember, just because you're paranoid, don't mean they're not after you. You see? You see?
Sci-fi.